Hey everybody, I'm here outside Yvette's house waiting for her to get in the car. We were driving down to Mira Mesa to go see Gravity. Adrian Brown actually got free tickets for a special sneak peek screening, and I do not have tickets. I do know where the theater is, and I intend to sneak in to go see Gravity because I've been dying to see that movie. So I just want you guys to wish me luck. Hopefully I get in, and hopefully I'm able to see it. I want to see it so bad. All right, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to our fourth episode of Filmception. We just got out of Gravity, and I'm here with Adrian Brown.
Hello.
And Yvette Angelo.
Hey, what's up?
And we're going to be reviewing that highly anticipated movie, Gravity, as well as giving our top five films set in space. But first, let's get into our review of Gravity.
So where's home, Dr. Stone?
Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Was there somebody down there looking up, thinking about you?
I had a daughter. A little girl with brown hair. Tell her that I'm not quitting.
Sandra Bullock is a medical engineer on her first shuttle mission with veteran astronaut played by George Clooney when suddenly disaster strikes and the shuttle is destroyed. Now they must find a way to survive in the very scary space. Adrian, you mentioned in an earlier episode that this was kind of a concern of yours, that the movie would be just Sandra Bullock floating in space for 2 hours. Now, while there was a lot of floating in space, was there more to the movie that kept you involved?
Absolutely. I feel the director is a very skilled storyteller, and he was able to create a story that was much more than just, you know, Sandra Bullock doing cartwheels in space, freaking out and breathing heavily. But it really, really plays into that fear of being alone. So even though it is her really leading that movie the entire time, it's much more than just her in the darkness of space.
What about you, Yvette? Did you have a good experience with this movie?
Yeah, I actually thought it was going to be a lot of, like, downtime, I guess, where, like Adrian was saying, just the kind of, like, waiting or floating or just kind of, like, desperate,
somebody
like, nothingness.
Me.
Yeah, but there was always something going on, and actually that was something that kind of affected me negatively, that there was always something going on, and it was, like, making me so anxious and so frustrated that, like, oh, my God, like, another thing happened. Oh, my God, another thing happened. It's, like, trial after trial after trial, and it got a little bit exhausting. It got to the point where I was, like, what's gonna happen next? Like, a dinosaur is gonna come eat her? It's just, like, so many things kept happening. It was frustrating me, and I don't know.
Space shark.
Yeah.
Like, do you mean it was getting a little outlandish for you?
Not outlandish, but, like, kind of, just because it was happening so often.
It does make Aaron Roskin's arm getting caught between a rock and a boulder a little adorable compared to what happens in this movie. I think this was a highly anticipated movie for me. I have to say that the movie completely delivered. You know, Alfonso Cuarón is a master of what he does. He's a master of his craft. And I mean, I think that this is going to stay as one of my favorite movies of the year so far right now. But I want to talk about the performances first, because that's where I always like to go. Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about Sandra Bullock in this role?
I'd actually like to ask you that question, because I think you were the one that was, like, a little bit not expecting her to do well. You're not a huge fan of her, so I'd like to hear what you have to say
about
that.
Flip it on you.
I really do.
Checkmate. Sandra Bullock is fantastic in this movie. I don't think I've ever liked her more. And not only that, you know, this movie was very good, and I was enthralled, and I was on the edge of my seat. But then the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, what's at stake here? Mm-hmm. If she dies, what is at stake here, though? And she has, and I was wondering where the emotional core of this movie was. And then she has a scene in there. And it's, I can't imagine me caring a lot about this movie without that one scene she has. And I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It involves her howling in one part of the scene.
Yeah.
And it, I actually had tears streaming to my face. And I couldn't believe it was Sandra Bullock. I really couldn't. I thought she was raw in that moment. And you know, I have to look back at The Blind Side and see that maybe her performance is there. Maybe she deserves that Oscar. Maybe the material is something I had a problem with and not her, because she's really phenomenal in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think that her performance was really, really extraordinary. The more I think about it and the more I hear you guys talk about the filming process of this and how difficult it must have been, and just to see that, look back on that and how well it was done is just really impressive. It's crazy impressive.
For me, I've always felt that she's always been an actress that commits no matter what the role is. So even going into her comedies that are kind of panned compared to a lot of her more serious work, there's no denying that she commits 100% to what she does, and that comes through especially in this movie as well.
Yeah, I heard this role was actually exchanged for a bunch of different actresses.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
I was looking on Wikipedia. It went through first Angelina Jolie, I believe, and then I heard Scarlett Johansson. Wow. Natalie Portman was in the works.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, man. If Sandra Bullock was on the list, I would go, why would you choose her? But
yeah, now that I see it, like, I can't imagine anyone else doing it.
I don't want anybody else.
Yeah.
And I've never felt that way about a Sandra Bullock movie. I really haven't. And I feel almost bad about anything I've ever said about her. She really is. She really... And to me, she is responsible for the reason for me feeling anything in this movie emotionally for me.
Yeah. I kind of wish, like, as far as the writing goes, I kind of wish that I would have been able to have a little bit more character development or a little bit more background on these characters, because I felt it was so little. When I look at the grand scheme of things, I feel like the movie was mainly just about survival, but I didn't really get to know them that well.
I completely understand, and that's an issue I had with the movie, is that the story is limited on what they allowed this backstory for her to have.
Yeah.
And if she didn't deliver that scene so damn good, they give her that one chance, only one scene.
Yeah, it's so small.
And she only had one chance, and I'm so glad she slam dunked it, because I feel like the movie really relies on that one scene for me, because, you know, it made that movie go to a different level on an emotional level for me.
For me, like, that scene, because she did it so well, it really did bring across the message that they were trying to bring across. And but yeah, like I said, I do wish there was a little bit more background on those characters, because it was so interesting.
Oscar-worthy performance.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see her get nominated.
The thing, too, is what other point would you have in that story to allow for more plot character development?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is her set in space. You're all by yourself.
And pretty off the bat, it gets to panic mode.
Yeah.
So
where do you get that backstory?
The only thing that comes to mind is, like, in Moon with Sam Rockwell, where he just ends up turning crazy, and that's where you get that character development. But
that's true.
If this was a case, she's keeping it together, and we saw what we needed to see, and we rooted for that character in the end.
And I guess that was, like, a problem for me too, is that it, like you said, it came into panic mode really fast. So then I felt like it felt really short for me. As soon as it ended, I asked you guys, like, wait, how long was that? How long was that? Because it felt like a short film. Like, it felt so fast.
With a movie this expensive, I can always imagine that it was going to be a 90 minutes.
It didn't even feel like 90 minutes to me. It felt so short, like, extremely short. And
that's a good thing.
It was well-paced,
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a very good thing. That it didn't feel like you said, like, just long periods of nothingness. But at some points in time, it did kind of remind me of, like, a ride at Disneyland.
Me
like
too.
You guys
know
those rides?
Like, you've just been, you know, I don't want to give away anything in the ending, but yeah.
It's Space Mountain.
This
movie
is
Space
Mountain.
I'm going
on this ride right now. I'm like, oh, the ride's over.
Let's talk about some of the other performance in this movie. George Clooney, you know, I think initially I wanted to brush him aside, but I'm going to go ahead and bring him back in. I think his role is good in here, and I think he plays it fine. And Adrian, I want you to talk about it here, because I think you were saying something earlier in the parking lot.
Yeah, we were talking about, I can't imagine anyone else playing that part, because a lot of it is just really his voice, and he's the comforting voice to make sure that she doesn't panic and freak out while she's floating away in space.
And he is so charming. Oh, my goodness.
Of course.
It's George Clooney.
Yeah.
But I think Robert Downey Jr. was also up for this part, and hearing that voice, I just don't feel as calm and reassured if I was floating around in space.
Yeah, when I saw the trailer and I saw, you know, two huge Hollywood stars in this movie, I was hesitant to want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to embrace it. But when I saw the movie and I learned what this character's purpose in this movie was, it couldn't be anybody but George Clooney to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I really enjoyed his part in the movie, because I felt like it brought comedic relief and, like Adrian said, like, the soothing kind of, like, safeness. I don't know. I really thought he added a lot, even though it wasn't much that he had time
right.
on
and,
screen.
And the things he had to say about, he really took yeah. notice in the beauty of
yeah.
of the world and space, and it really got you to pay attention yeah. to some of the visuals in the
it
movie
was a really
well.
Nice contrast mm-hmm. because there were such different personalities between them two.
I think we talked about the movie and its suspense. It's mm-hmm. extremely suspenseful in parts. And that has to do with, I mean, some of the special effects are... I'm too dumb to talk about special effects, but I know them when I see them, and they are incredible. Is this the most incredible special effects you've seen? To me, it
in,
is.
In a long, it's groundbreaking what they've done in this movie. We're talking just about the framing. It seems like it's just one continuous shot, and mm. to be able to pull that off seamlessly is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was so... I've never, ever flinched during movies in my life, but this movie kept making me like flinch. I kept getting scared because it was crazy the way like they filmed a lot of the special effects and like the 3D and stuff, and like the thing looks like feels like it's flying at you. It's just yeah. I don't know, it was crazy.
I mean, that debris sequence in particular when she's trying to get those cables untangled mm. and that thing collides into, you know, and
yeah.
it was just flying at you, and I think the 3D in IMAX is, I never say this, go see it in 3D, but you have to see it
yeah,
in this IMAX
definitely.
3D.
I'm definitely not a person who is a fan of 3D either, but this is a must-see, I think, in 3D. Like I said, it was
I can't
crazy.
Imagine it. Yeah, it's fantastic. And
it's crazy.
So that was actually one of my favorite parts, that debris flying at my face,
yeah.
and it was just incredibly suspenseful. And one thing I want to point out, too, is because you're floating in space, things seem to happen really slow,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes that added to that suspense of,
because
you're trying, it's so frustrating because
yeah.
it's, you have a way to go and the
and you have those clumsy gloves and you're like, you're trying to grab onto stuff and
yes.
you can't feel it.
And you have to get something that's right there. Mm-hmm. If only you can get there.
Yeah.
And I love that suspense to the movie. Other than that, is there anything you guys want to bring up?
There is this one scene in the movie where she's crying,
mm.
and adding to the 3D, it was something that I haven't seen in a movie ever.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Where that tear is shed,
yeah.
and since she's in space, it just floats away,
yeah.
and it just blew me away.
Yeah, that was really cool. I do remember that. That was so cool.
Adding to some of the movie, I think a lot of the flair, I love the music in this movie,
mm-hmm.
During some of those action sequences especially, really was... effective, and I thought the music was one of the highlights for me in this film. I love films that are small, and I love films that are, you know, that are modest and has a lot of heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just toss away these action flicks. But I want to point out that I'm so glad that every once in a while I'm able to just get knocked out by these special effect, you know, movies.
Like
that
big budget films.
These big budget films. But, I mean, it reminds me of what the point of a movie is,
okay.
too. It's not just to feel something or to have a little... It's just to blow you away and take you on this ride.
Yeah.
And this movie, like you said, is a ride.
Yeah.
And it's a ride of my life, man. That was awesome.
It's a good balance,
yeah.
too. It's not just an action movie. It's this character-driven movie mm-hmm. with insane
yeah.
special effects.
Yeah. So I would definitely say recommend Gravity. You're not going to see anything like it this year.
Yeah, definitely.
See it in theaters, yeah.
See it in theaters.
In 3D.
Oh,
3D.
My
yeah.
God. Are you kidding me? Don't see it on DVD. Don't watch it on your iPad, your iPhone. Watch it in theaters, man. IMAX, 3D. You have to. If you wait till DVD, don't even bother. If you see it right now in theater, right now.
The way the good Lord intended.
Also, I want to throw out a special shout out to Blakely Sanford because thank you so much. I couldn't get in the theater because I didn't have a ticket to the special screening, so I asked him if I can have one of his two tickets because he wasn't using his. So special shout out to him. Thank you so much. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to see this movie. So coming up next, we're going to be giving our list in light of this space movie. We're going to be giving our list for the top 5 space movies coming up, right?
In space.
right after this. Gravity.
against me. And gravity wants to bring me down. Oh, I'll never know.
Hey guys, welcome back to Filmception. That was John Mayer's Gravity. I hope you enjoyed that. we're going to do something special this week. We're going to be having a contest. We're going to ask you a trivia question for a chance to win. Go ahead and tell them what they can win, Adrian.
You can win two passes for the advanced screening of About Time.
Maybe, if you get this trivia question right. So, if you get this trivia question right, you can win free tickets to see About Time. So, go ahead and read the question.
In the film Gravity, a toy of the Looney Tunes character Marvin the Martian makes an appearance by floating off into space. In what other film about survival does a huge inflatable Scooby-Doo make an appearance?
If you can answer that question, email us at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com. All the right answers will be tallied up and we'll draw a right answer. And if you could be you, so... If you know the answer, send it to filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com.
Google the question, too. Yeah,
you can Google it. It's no problem.
We're not going to judge you.
No one's looking.
I don't even know. Nobody cares.
Yeah, seriously. It's
honestly,
cool.
Like, no one's going to catch you. Yeah. We don't check. We don't make sure that you actually have movie knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. So email your answers at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com. Coming up next, our top five space movies.
Hey guys, welcome back to Filmception. Now we're going to go on to our top five movies that are set in space.
In space.
Yes, sir. Space.
We got you.
We have two lists, Ryan and Adrian. Are these in any particular order?
I have mine ranked, I think.
Yeah, I think mine's in order.
Okay,
so we'll start from the bottom up.
Okay. Like Drake.
Yeah.
Start from the bottom
exactly.
over here.
Okay. Yeah. So number five. Who wants to start?
Who wants to go first? You pick.
Ryan, go.
Okay.
Number five.
Okay.
My number five is Solaris. There's two versions of this. There's the old classic version, and then there's the new version with George Clooney, directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark and where things don't make sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And where things might, you know, it's kind of a mystery. And I think this movie is a good overall theme of space.
Awesome.
Cool. My number five is another dark, twisted space story. But it's a Disney movie.
Hmm.
Yes. So number five is The Black Hole.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's it came out at a time where Disney was really focusing on those little dark movies like Tron.
Mm-hmm.
So this came out right before Star Trek, the motion picture, around the same time of Empire Strikes Back. So this was Disney capitalizing on that sort of space thing, and it's not the greatest movie in the world. I'll go ahead and admit that. Anthony Perkins is in it. Norman Bates,
weird.
Ernest Borgnine's in it. So it's worth a watch. It's one of the. It has a cult following. But yeah, that's gonna make number five for me.
Do you want to give like a tiny little synopsis?
Basically, a research vessel goes and finds a missing ship close to a black hole, and just bad things happen. It's a dark movie for a Disney movie too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Number four.
My number four, I went with Apollo 13. Now, I'm going to have to admit that I haven't seen this movie since I was like 12 years old.
Mm. But we all love it.
But yeah. We all love it. It's got Tom Hanks in it, of course.
Right.
And I don't know. I know this movie is known for being the most accurate as far as astronaut goes in space. And, you know, it's. I remember when I was 12 years old and watching that little...
And that Aerosmith song.
Oh, that's the wrong movie.
No.
That is not the movie.
Yeah, that's Armageddon.
Maybe that'll make Adrian's list, though.
It won't! Okay. Spoiler alert. It's not on
all right.
My list.
Why didn't anybody pick Armageddon?
Moving on.
Because that's your number one.
That and Space Jam.
All right.
Next.
So my number four movie is Pandorum. Pandorum is...
Yeah, I heard of it.
Yeah, it's 2009 with Dennis Quaid and Ben Foster, basically a crew or this a commander wakes up on a ship with no people on it and comes to find these crazy zombie alien mutant things on board, and they have to figure out what's going on. So the main reason why I picked it is because it felt, when I saw it, it felt like a movie that I would make. It's not, again, not the most cinematic movie ever, but it's a fun horror sci-fi movie with good mystery. Out. Yeah, I'll let you borrow it. Have it on Blu-ray.
What number are we on? Three.
Four.
This is my number three.
Okay.
Number three, I went with Moon, directed by Duncan Jones. I think it might probably be on your list, Adrian. But, Moon is the probably Sam Rockwell is my favorite performance by him.
Yes.
He's playing two characters, because what happens is he is on a mission and he's about to come back to Earth. But what happens is...
Spoilers.
Yeah spoiler. He finds a clone there. And now it just becomes a mystery of what is this? Why is there an exact duplicate of me? And what I love about the movie is it's complicated, but it's not impossible to follow.
Right.
And it goes on this, you know, the whole loneliness of space too, especially because a lot of the space movies in my theme is this kind of isolation around from the rest of the world, and that's definitely apparent in his performance because all he has is him and his clone. And it's a very lonely movie, too. Mm. So that's why I went with Moon. And really good movie. You got to check it out.
Cool.
It would have been on my list. I didn't pick it just because it took place on the moon and not in space. But it's okay. I'll let it slide.
Oh, my God.
I'll let it slide.
Yeah.
It's a space movie.
It is. He wears an astronaut suit. It's fine. My next movie is Alien. I know it's going to be on your list, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how can it not be on both of our lists? It's one of the greats. I don't know what else to say about it. Anything that you want to ask about Alien?
Yes. Do you want to give a brief synopsis?
Sure. Alien is essentially a story about a crew are they the merchants? Basically, it's set in the future where this cargo ship is shipping some stuff to another planet, and they find an alien on board. And sort of the more dilemma of what to do and survive, basically, right, this killer alien that's on board.
Well, I mean, my number two is Alien as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice little transition there.
Right, there you go. And, yeah, I mean, I think I've seen so many movies after Alien come out that are trying to emulate that,
right,
that's, you know, that space is scary, you mm-hmm. know, and I think it's the first, one of my, the ones I've seen where horror is set in space. And not really the first, but mm-hmm. I think it was groundbreaking. And it has one of the, I mean, Ripley is one of the most famous female characters
right.
in film history. So you got to go with Alien.
Yeah, and also, like, last thing, like, Grieger's art direction for Alien mm-hmm. and making this sort of dark and creepy alien creature mm-hmm. and that sort of world that character lives in. And revisiting that with Prometheus, but, yeah, it's some good stuff there.
And that scene is classic. The
chestburster.
The chestburster is classic.
Yeah.
Number one, Adrian.
I still have two more.
Oh, wait. Number two, yeah. Adrian.
This is my number two. Number two is Star Trek, Wrath of Khan.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Never saw it, by the way.
Okay. If you saw Star Trek in the Darkness, then you got a little taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
From all the Star Trek films that have been made, it's one of my favorites of the original ones.
Would you say it's the most accurate?
Sure. it's hard to say since it's set in the future. But, I mean, the creating a villain like that in a movie is an achievement. And the end with the sacrifices that those characters have to make, it really grips you. Even if you're not just like a very... casual viewer and not a hardcore Star Trek fan, I think it has a pretty impacting story if you can get through all the sort of the technical stuff.
And does space play a prevalent part in?
It does. Okay. Very similar to Star Trek Into Darkness.
Kind of the objectives.
Yeah, the conflict takes place in space.
Gotcha. All right, are we ready for my number one?
Number one.
My number one, I don't know why I'm building it up, because it's probably the most obvious answer I can give. Completely pretentious pick again, but I'm going with a 2001 Space Odyssey. And actually, I wanted to say something about all the other movies, but I didn't want to ruin it because it all links back to this one movie that, to me, I feel like completely created why space is scary. And the movie works in mysterious ways because, for some reason, you're scared in some scenes. And the atmosphere and the mood just gets inside your body. And you're like, why am I terrified right now? And nothing scary is happening. What's scary about, you know, monkeys kind of worshiping a monolith, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but with that music and the atmosphere, I feel like that had created the whole... History was made right there. This is space. The mystery and, you know, the being warped in this black hole of, you know, no exit. You know, it's just... It made space a scary place to be for me. So that's why I'm going with 2001 Space Odyssey.
I would fight you on that.
Yes.
To the death. It's not my favorite Kubrick movie.
It has to be my favorite, I think.
Okay.
Well, I mean, other than something else, but go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm not a fan.
I can understand there's segments where it's very long periods, but doesn't the movie work magic on you, though? Doesn't it just, it gets inside your body?
It's iconic. It's important for film and sci-fi in general, but it just wasn't my cup of tea when I saw it. Okay. And I revisited it a couple times, and it's just, it's very long paced, and I feel like I'm just so used to cinema now where it's, everything's just going after the other, and there's not that sort of long, played out scenes like this one has.
No, I mean, it's not a Saturday morning, let's pop in the old Space Odyssey. But, yeah, I mean, it's iconic to me, so I can't
if you're a film lover, you have to watch it. Yeah.
All right, Adrian, what is
your number
on
one?
On that note, my number one pick is Wall-E.
I love Wall-E.
Aw, cute.
Yeah, I just find the character relatable, and his journey from Earth to going into space, it's and then finding love and just discovering the world. That's probably what I love about the most.
Wally's the most likable Pixar character to me. He's so adorable.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. Mm-hmm. So, what makes a space movie watchable or exciting, or what makes a space movie make your top five list? I know it's very hard. I could imagine it's very hard to film a movie, not in space, but about space or set in space. So, what makes it so special?
One that it's set in space.
That is a qualification.
Yeah. I think it, for me, it has to be driven by the characters. Just because you're in a landscape where there's nothing
going on
around you, what makes that interesting? And that was my fear going into Gravity. Like, what's going to make that interesting? She's in space. Mm. That's the movie. And it captures your imagination, and you're in it the entire time. So,
cool.
Yeah.
I mean, what makes a space movie for me is having space be one of the characters in your film. Mm-hmm. And the main objective of the film is basically that you're in space.
Yeah.
And to me, space, because of the movies, and the best of space movies to me are all set in space in a world where everything is scary, dark, and like you're trapped in a maze and you don't know how to find, you know, you can't, you have to find your way out.
Right.
So that's my idea of a space movie.
All right.
Is being trapped in a black hole.
Good job, guys.
So there it is. That was our list for the top five space movies. Coming up next week, join us. We're going to be reviewing Captain Phillips. And if you want to email feedback, if you think we missed the space movie, if you think we missed Armageddon.
Yeah, I want to hear what your favorite space movie is, please.
So send us an email at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com. All right.
Do you want to preview what next week's top five is going to be?
And next week's top five is top five movies. What was it?
Hostage.
Hostage movies.
Top five hostage movies on next week's episode. So come and join us next week. Thanks for listening to Filmception.
Bye.
Don't want to miss a thing.